This is the FitCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee. This week I'm joined by Dr. John K. Williams, co-author of Precision Nutrition.
Hi, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
Oh, I'm good. I hear you have a sore throat.
Yes, indeed. I'm fighting a sore throat, but battling through with plenty of green tea, of course.
That's good to hear. And that's one of our recommendations in Precision Nutrition. And actually, John Berardi is sort of the overall author of Precision Nutrition, and I'm co-author on one of the books that's included with that package. So definitely check that out if you guys get a chance.
Absolutely, and that's available on John Berardi's website and at precisionnutrition.com, correct?
That's correct.
Awesome, awesome. And also with us this week is Keith Sutanamo. I'm sorry, Keith, if I butcher your name. I'm trying to do my best here. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing well. It's perfectly fine that you kind of butchered my name, but it's, you know, it's all good. I'm doing well this week. Sorry to hear that you have a sore throat.
Thanks.
But it's good to hear that you're drinking the green tea and trying to battle back from it.
I heard you picked up Alwyn's Bodyweight Workout DVD.
I did. I picked up Alwyn's Bodyweight Workout DVD this week. It came in yesterday, actually. So I haven't gotten a chance to watch the whole thing. But I'll definitely give it a look this week, and I'll be reviewing it on my website, redefinitions.net.
Yeah, guys, definitely keep a lookout for that. I will have a link for all the websites we mentioned in this episode on thefitcast.com. And speaking of the FitCast, we're going to go into a little bit of news. But before that, in this week's episode, we're going over the same format, news and articles of the week, and also we're going to have a roundtable on supplements. This is where the three of us are going to have a discussion on supplements, the supplements we use all the time, and also where we buy our supplements and the supplements that just seem to not be worth it. But first, before we go into the news of the week, is a little bit more of the FitCast news. The FitCast is actually now on iTunes, finally. It's also on Odeo and Podcast Alley, so you have a bunch of places to get the FitCast. You can, of course, still get it at thefitcast.com, but you can subscribe through iTunes. When you go on iTunes, make sure to type in the FitCast with a capital F and a capital C. That way, you'll go right to the FitCast page. Also, we're going to try to keep the show under an hour. I know last week's show went a little bit over, but I know you all thought it was worth it. It was a great show. We had the first part of the interview with Craig Ballantyne, and not to mention we have part two this week. Also, try to tell everyone that you know about the show. If you know someone that's into fitness and nutrition, let them know about the FitCast. It's a show that I think a lot of people will enjoy, and it's free. So you can just tell them, give it a shot, you know, just spread the word of the FitCast. I don't want to say it too much, but the more listeners we get, the better. Also, there is a donation tab on the website if you want to donate to the FitCast. Again, we're not going to have any advertising, and the FitCast will always be free. There is a possibility of there being no FitCast next week. Because I'm a college student and an RA, I'm a little busy next week with closing down the dorms and finals, so there's a possibility of no FitCast, but I'm going to do my best to schedule one in. So just keep that in mind. If there is no FitCast next week, I promise we'll have a great one the week after.
I didn't realize you were an RA, Kevin.
Yeah, it's it pays the bills, you know. That's
nice.
It's a fun job. I mean, you really get to meet great people, and if you're in college and thinking about being an RA, it's a great way to meet new people and really help out people in the community of the college
and get free housing.
Oh, free housing and also free food. So I like it.
Nice. You get the cafeteria plan.
Yeah, get the full 19 meals a week and. They have a brand new dining commons with a fantastic salad bar. So I couldn't be happier. It's fantastic.
Very cool. That's cool. Well, hopefully you don't have the ragtag crew that was in my dorm when I was in college that used to give the RA a hell of a time. Actually, the RA was really cool, but there was some idiot who came to college and brought his bow and arrow, and he shot an arrow into the RA's door. Needless to say, that guy was kicked out the next day.
I hope so. Oh my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that definitely I haven't had any problems with my residents, and actually a couple of them listen to the FitCast, so I love them. And cool. Especially with everything wrapping up, it's a little busy, but like I said, we're going to do the best job possible to get you a episode of the FitCast next week. You guys want to start off with our protein shakes of the week? John, I know you were trying out Muscle Milk. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Muscle Milk has probably become one of the most popular sort of all-around shakes, and for good reason. They have several varieties of flavors, and from what I've tried, just a couple I've tried, they do taste great. And they're composed of, you know, a pretty high-quality amino acid profile. The proteins are really high quality. Some of the fats that they use are also, a lot of people think it's kind of high fat for a protein shake, and it is. Those fats can be used in good ways, though. If you're trying to lose fat, if you're trying to get completely ripped, however, I probably wouldn't be using it just because, you know, the fats carry with them a lot more calories. But overall, I give it probably 8 out of 10 stars just because it's very tasty. It's got a great texture, and it's just easy to make. You know, you can bring it with you to work, have it for a meal during the day, preferably with something with some fresh veggies, or you can even dump in some Greens Plus into the shake if you want to make it a complete meal. But yeah, I like it. I was using the Rocky Road flavor.
Oh, that's nice. Definitely a thumbs up on the Greens Plus. If you haven't tried that stuff, definitely pick some up. I know you can pretty much get it at any place like Vitamin Shoppe and anywhere, at a lot of places on the internet.
Right. And some people have problems with Greens Plus because it is green. But I'm colorblind. I can't see the greens or reds, so I have no problem with it. I can even dump it in my oatmeal.
Oh, really?
People are like, oh, my God, you're eating green oatmeal. But it looks normal to me. It's not the greatest taste in oatmeal. I wouldn't recommend it every day, but if you're jonesing for some veggies, then go ahead and throw it in.
Currently, I have Optimum Nutrition 100% whey. It's the vanilla ice cream flavor. It's quite tasty. I like it with the with some orange Gatorade after a workout. It works out pretty well. It kind of tastes like those orange and cream lifesavers that you buy. It's pretty good, and for the taste is very, very nice. I would say that the texture is very nice. You can even, when you use it in a shaker bottle, it completely dissolves, so it's good.
Yeah, it's a nice problem not to have is the clumping of the protein. I definitely am not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Me personally, I've been drinking a lot of the Metabolic Drive, formerly Low Carb Grow, from the T-Nation website. It's really great stuff. I've actually had a couple flavors, but I'll be talking about the strawberry flavor. It pretty much tastes like the Captain Crunch berries themselves if you put them in a liquid form. And this is not an over-exaggeration. It really tastes good for a strawberry casein and whey protein. Per tub, for about a 2-pound tub, is $25.99. That's, again, on the T-Nation website. And it's definitely worth a look. It's low carb. It's something you can take right before bed. And it's something that goes down smooth, and it doesn't really taste bad. I actually really like the taste of it, and I can stand putting in something like milled flax seeds in it as well. So it's something that really helps out right before bedtime.
What a genius concept to make a protein powder taste like crunch berries.
Seriously.
Most of them taste so awful. You know, the BioTest must have some mad scientists, you know, fooling around with flavorings until they get it just right. Because everything I've tasted from theirs has been top-notch.
Yeah, really. Like, it's same thing with the chocolate. The chocolate's great. I hear the vanilla's fantastic. But
yeah, the vanilla is really good. It tastes similar to the chocolate, so it's not a true vanilla taste, but it's definitely good. I prefer that in my oatmeal in the morning rather than other brands. You know, it's funny, though, different strokes for different folks, because some people can't stand the taste of BioTest. Other people love Optimum, but I, you know, like Keith was saying earlier, although I haven't tried the newer versions of it, I could never drink an entire Optimum shake before. It always had this weird taste to me. So just experiment around with your own flavors until you find one you like.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up for the protein shakes of the week. I hope everyone out there enjoyed that, and give us some feedback on what you think about that. And now we will go into the news of the week. The first news article this week is called Salads or Not, Cheap Burgers Revive McDonald's. This article has to do with the resurgence of McDonald's in the last couple of years. First off, the $1 menu has actually created a resurgence for McDonald's. Currently, 36 months of consecutive growth has taken place for McDonald's, and also revenue is up 33%. 4 years ago, McDonald's was going nowhere. They got attention with healthier menu options, but it's the cheap unhealthy food like double cheeseburgers and the McChickens that they're really making their comeback. The statistics in the article stated that there were 50 salads sold to every 400 double cheeseburgers in each McDonald's. There's a quote in the article stating that the restaurant advertising looks very funny and social, but fast food ads don't show you what happens when you're in your 40s and your cholesterol's high and your heart has to work really hard to pump. I thought that was a great quote to include. First off, this article kind of touched on the childhood obesity kind of thing that we talked about last week, where children who don't have a lot of money were going into McDonald's and they only had like maybe $2 on them. And they go in, they get something like a double cheeseburger and a Coke, or they get something like a French fry. When was the last time that you ate a McDonald's? And honestly, what did you get? And do you think people have their eyes and ears closed? I mean, seriously, there's things like Super Size Me and Fast Food Nation. McDonald's is making a comeback. It just doesn't seem to make sense. And also, the dollar menu. Can't they make a $1 serving of salad or put just more healthier options on the dollar menu? What do you guys think?
Honestly, the last time I had McDonald's was last semester at during school. You know, school can get a little crazy while, as well as working. While I was at school, I was taking 3 classes and working full-time, so it gets a little hard. And, I mean, honestly, I went to McDonald's a couple times last semester, but since then, I haven't had any. What I got the last time, I believe it was something like a burger and fries and a Coke or something like that. Something along those, one of those value meals.
So the healthier options didn't look too tempting. Like they, I know they have the, I think they have a chicken Caesar salad kind of option there now. And
yeah, the healthier options at places like McDonald's or Wendy's, I just don't like, the lettuce seems old and, you know, all the vegetables seem old and things like that. So, you know, they don't sound very tempting to me.
You know, honestly, I can barely remember the last time I went. It's usually when I'm stuck on the highway, you know, traveling somewhere, and you're in the middle of Kansas on I-70. I'm thinking of the last time I moved up here to Denver. And there's just nothing else to eat, you know. Or you're in a time crunch. You don't have time to run into a supermarket and grab some fruit and a sandwich. So I think I had their walnut salad and maybe an Egg McMuffin. But yeah, you know, it's never good. It's so packed with sodium, you get bloated after you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my taste. A lot of people still love it. But the article, you know, it was pretty good. And I'm going to probably take a different approach, or maybe a different approach than you guys, and say, you know, people know what they're eating. People know McDonald's isn't healthy food, and I'm not going to blame it on McDonald's that they're trying to trick people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making money, and that's what they're in this for, and I can't really blame them for that. And they do provide healthier options on the menu. It's just that folks like us who want to eat healthy aren't going to go to McDonald's to eat healthy. The people who go to McDonald's want something on the dollar menu, you know, so that's going to be a given at any time.
Yeah, yeah, put the nutritional information on all, like, the hamburger wrappers and the chicken sandwich wrappers now, and on the French fries. Everything but the soft drink now has the nutritional information on the package, which I thought was really neat. It wasn't included in the article, but it's just something that they started putting in all the McDonald's. So really, people know what they're eating now to the T. They know what the fat content is, what the calorie content is, how much sugar's in it. And if you just look at the label that's on your sandwich, you know what you're putting in your body, and you have fewer and fewer excuses now to say, oh, I didn't know what it was. Like, how do I know that I'm getting fat on McDonald's? It's just a hamburger. I mean, everyone eats hamburgers.
If anybody, you know, before that you eat a Big Mac or a Whopper or whatever, a good deterrent would be to go visit this Body Worlds exhibit at the whatever science museums around the country. Right now it's showing in Denver and Houston, I think. This is the somewhat controversial exhibit of real human bodies that have been turned into sort of plastic, showing the muscles and the fat and all of these. I actually just went to it this morning here at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, and it showed a healthy heart next to a heart with tons of fat and the pericardium around the heart, mm-hmm. and showing a healthy body sliced up versus a fat body, and it's just absurd what goes on. Even if a person doesn't have that much external fat, you know, their skin fold fat, there can be tons of inter-organ fat, where the fat between the organs, and it's just disgusting to see in real bodies.
I agree, John. I went to Bodies the Exhibition, which is in New York, Atlanta, Tampa, and London right now. I went a couple of weeks ago, and I'm planning actually to go again very soon. But they show pretty much the same things. I believe it's probably the same company that's doing the one in Denver, but it was very amazing to see the different types of, you know, even just the, you know, the fat around your body or, you know, things like that, but also, you know, the way your muscles connect to one another. I mean, it's a good thing to go see for anyone who's interested in fitness. So
yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, you can see every muscle. Obviously the skin is off. It's controversial. I think it was controversial at first because some of the bodies were portrayed sort of artistically, mm-hmm. like yeah. riding horses or whatnot. But it's entirely voluntary, and I was actually thinking of signing myself up. when I kicked the bucket, maybe that'd be pretty cool to donate my body to science in that way. They actually had some guy on a skateboard, you know, doing a handplant on a skateboard, and others doing spear throwing and skiing. It was just amazing.
The ones that they had in New York were a guy throwing a football. Oh, no, a guy running with a football, a guy throwing a baseball, and a guy shooting a basketball. So, you know, it shows you the ways your muscles contract while you're playing sports and things like that. It was pretty amazing.
Nice. Go ahead.
Another thing they showed which was pretty amazing was the liver of one of the specimens. It was a fatty liver, which it was almost triple the size of an average liver. So, I mean,
working to filter all that bile out.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you eat dollar menu every day. Not that that it's inherently evil to eat a burger every now and then, but it definitely is an eye-opener to show you what goes on inside your body that's not necessarily visible on the outside.
Yeah, I was actually going to agree with you on the case about McDonald's. I mean, it's not McDonald's fault that these people are going to McDonald's every day. I mean, obviously they do offer healthier choices and things like that. The jobs of the people at McDonald's is to make money for McDonald's. So, I mean,
they do a good job at that.
They do a good job at it.
And one thing I wanted to point out, and in the article was a passage that said, I think they're quoting, I have to forget who they're quoting, but it says, the dollar menu appeals to lower-income ethnic consumers. Mm-hmm. That's Vice President for United States Business Research at McDonald's. It's the people who don't always have $6 in their pocket. And, you know, I agree with that. That's partially true, but that's painting with a broad brush. I see a lot of ethnic consumers in Costco and farmers markets, you know, across the nation. One, these ethnic folks aren't fat. And they're buying fresh vegetables, and they're not rich either. They're probably the same income as those who frequent McDonald's. So it's all about educating yourselves. You know, you can spend a dollar on a Big Mac, or you can spend a dollar on, you know, half a pound of fruit and veggies. Obviously, the Big Mac appeals to more people, but that's just the nature of being human. You just have to, you know, put away some of your desires if you want to look into the long term.
I just want to try out a McGriddle someday. It just looks so damn good. But
yeah, my girlfriend is in love with those.
Oh, really? Well, I think we should wrap it up for that article. I mean, it's pretty much another conversation that we could talk about for hours on end about all the ins and outs, but we should really move on. The next article is called Fitness Thrust Worries Schools. This article is based out of Tennessee, which is known as one of the most obese states in the country. The proposal has to do with the junior high and high schools. The proposal is for 90 minutes of required physical activity each week. One of the concerns with the program is that it would make it hard in concerns with the current curriculum and meeting all requirements and mandates. What we want to go over right now is, can we find a balance of academics and physical fitness? And one quote that I just wanted to mention from the article is, if we don't attack childhood obesity, will we pay the price in premature deaths, extraordinary health care costs, and frightening tax increases? This is from Senator Roy Herron, and the chairman of the Select Committee on Children and Youth and a sponsor of legislation. What do you guys think about this? I mean, you read the article. It's just kind of what we talked about last week a little bit, and it's, in a sense, trying to go against implementing more fitness in school and the concerns with fitting it in with also getting the current curriculum in. What do you guys think?
Were they proposing to do this in the gym, like at gym time, or is it up to the teachers to sort of incorporate it into their class?
It's up to the teachers to incorporate it in class. Like 10 minutes of, they said it at the end of the article, it was like 10 minutes of jumping jacks in the beginning of class and 10 minutes of jumping jacks at the end of class. And I was like,
are you serious?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I think there should be a whole nother class for physical fitness and education.
Why not just gym class 3 times a week for 30 minutes? I mean,
right.
That's all they
90
need.
Minutes a week. Right. 90 minutes a week is not a long time. It's, you know, less than 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Why not just put that in the gym time? Because, you know, first of all, it's just a haphazard plan. It's not a real plan. You know, teachers may or may not know the first thing about fitness and nutrition. You know, I've seen teachers that were obese themselves and, you know, had boxes of Snickers bars behind their desk. I wouldn't trust my kids, you know, to be taught to do something physical with that teacher. So, you know, they need a more solid plan. But I think the bigger issue here is, why are schools today, why are kids today fatter than they were, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 mm-hmm. years ago? And I think there are several issues. I mean, let's take a comparative study of obese grade school children today versus those 20 years ago. What's the differences? What are the variables that have changed since then? And I think primarily what you've already talked about, Kevin and Keith, which are the education levels of the parents concerning fitness and nutrition, you know, not just the school. It's not, I didn't spend an exorbitant amount of time when I was in school. I came from a different generation as you guys, you know, I'm in my 30s now. So back when I was in grade school, there were, you know, maybe one or two fat kids and the rest of us were normal looking kids. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, I'm surprised every time I go visit grade schools, they're just so much bigger, so much more girth in these schools. Well, you know, one of the fundamental things is whether or not the parents know what proper nutrition and fitness is for these kids. Another thing I think is the availability of cheap, empty calories today that weren't available, you know, just even 20 years ago. Things like high fructose corn syrup and pops and sodas and all these empty calories, which we really didn't have that much access to back then.
I think one thing that you may have overlooked also is technology, about how there's so much more technology, how kids are just sitting inside all day playing PlayStation, Xbox,
right,
sitting at computers. While, I mean, when we used to come home from school, for me at least, we used to come home and try and head outside before the sun went down.
Absolutely.
and played outside until the sun went down. I think a problem with that, though, is the world is becoming a less safe place with all the kidnappings and things like that, where kids can't, you know, just go out to the park by themselves, and
right,
parents are willing to take them to the park. So
that's a very good point. And I think back to my days in school and grade school, and, you know, I came from a small town, so I would walk from my house, you know, 2 miles to school each day, and then I would go right after school, I'd go to my best friend's house and play until sundown and walk home.
Did you walk
uphill?
So much
time. Yeah, both ways. And I was whipped by giant fish heads.
I was just making sure.
So, right.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's the way it went. And it's just amazing. I wouldn't be able to raise my kids. I don't have any yet, but when I do, I wouldn't be able to provide them that same world because I would be worried, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, like you said. It's not as safe as it used to be. And there's so many video games that if I was a kid, you know, today, I would probably rather play Xbox and PlayStation 2, you know, more often than not.
Well, yeah, I mean, a similar thing is when I know you talk about the video games. I mean, if kids need to stay indoors and play video games, there are alternatives. There's one game called Dance Dance Revolution that they're actually bringing into some high schools for gym class because kids say, hey, it's a video game. I want to play it. And you can actually get a pretty good workout. I haven't done it personally myself, but I've seen kids, say, at the arcade at the mall do it, and they're sweating. Like it looks like a really good workout, and it's working all those fast really, twitch fibers, and it looks like a.
I've heard it's a lot of fun too.
Have you done it?
No, I've never done it, but I've heard. I have friends who, you know, my age that do it as well. They say it's just a blast. They'll pull it out on Friday nights and have a party.
There's two more stories that I wanted to go over quickly this week before we get into the roundtable, and that first one is actually in regards to rapper 50 Cent. If you know 50 Cent, you know he's a pretty built guy. He looks like a really healthy guy. And he's actually joined forces with fitness guru Jorge Cruz to help improve children's eating habits in the United States. The pair of them are offering $100,000 college scholarship for students who submit healthy recipes to their, what they're calling, free lunch money website during the month of May. 50 Cent strives to be a good nutritional role model for his son and make sure the house is stocked with healthy food choices. It is really nice to see a major celebrity promoting healthy living instead of biting into a Big Mac right after a basketball game and a commercial, of course. What do you guys think? It's really nice to see a little different direction than instead of just promoting something like Sprite to be actually promoting healthy eating and not making money off of it.
It can't hurt. You know, I don't know how effective it will be with kids, but you know, I'm sure 50 Cent is a role model for tons of kids that may never be exposed to that kind of information. So, you know, why not?
Yeah, I feel that if he's giving out, I mean, not only is he trying to support a healthy way of life, but also giving out college scholarships to kids, you know, who might never have gotten the opportunity to go to college, I think that's good as well.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Hate to get too political about this, but with the federal funding getting cut and things like that, mm-hmm. you've always got to look for other places to get money to go now.
Yeah, it's just it's a really nice quick story that I wanted to go over. And also the second one is it's not really a news story, but it's something you should check out. It's was called Fitness on the Fast Track, and it was with NBA star Gilbert Arenas of the Washington Wizards. And it's a two-part video where Gilbert goes over his workouts in a little bit of detail. And it's just something interesting that I found online that you should check out if you're interested in NBA players and their in-season workout habits. It's something that I'll just post the link for on the internet. It was done by a local Washington news station, and it's just two videos where he goes over his workout a little bit. And I just thought it was kind of interesting. I don't. Did you guys check that out at all?
I saw the article, but I didn't download the video. How was that?
I didn't watch the video. I just read the article, but I thought when I first saw that it was with Gilbert Arenas, I actually thought that we were going to hear about some online gambling during halftime.
Nice.
Yeah.
you know, gamble between sets or something like that.
Yeah, at halftime, Gilbert Arenas likes to do a little bit of online party poker, I guess. But we'll save that for another show. Maybe ESPN can just take care of it for us. But that pretty much wraps it up for this week's news. This week's roundtable has to do with supplements. We'll be talking about popular supplements, what supplements we commonly use, and what supplements just aren't worth it, and also where we do buy our supplements. I'll start off. Me personally, I use basic supplements. I use whey, I use a multivitamin, use creatine, and I use my casein before bed. That's really about it. How about you, Keith?
I pretty much go the same direction as you. I use a multivitamin. I use whey. I take fish oil caps twice a day. Mm-hmm. I have some flaxseed oil in my refrigerator for when I'm cooking and things like that, add on top of things. I believe that's about it for my supplements. I've tried all types of crazy things, you know, just to see what they're like, and you know, I've actually tried Hot Rocks by BioTest, and I have green tea extract as well. So,
How did those Hot Rocks work?
Hot Rocks were crazy.
Thermogenics, or
on the first couple days you take them, they make your whole insides feel hot. I mean,
was it effective at all? I've never tried them.
Wasn't really effective. I mean, I wasn't really on a real diet at the time. You know, it was just one of those times I, you know, just tried to try it, and you know, along with my regular, not too hardcore diet. But
the pills
maybe
look cool.
They do look cool. Maybe I also didn't finish the whole bottle. Maybe when I get down to a lower body fat percentage, and I'm actually trying to cut, you know, down. I'm currently trying to cut down to about 8%. I'm at 12. But when I get closer to my goal, maybe I'll use that to try and help me finish the last, you know, shed those last few pounds.
Right. That's typically what they're used for. Well, I'm similar to you guys. I fluctuate. Sometimes I'll take lots of different kinds of supplements just to experiment, and other times I'll take none. I just went through about a 6-month period where I was taking absolutely nothing, not even a post-workout shake. That's how minimalist I was being. And by doing that, I'm able to sort of hone in on the effective supplements and weed out those that I don't really need. And supplementation is going to be an individual thing. Obviously, if depending on your goals, if you're overweight and you're just trying to get toned up, quote unquote, or lose body fat, gain some lean body mass, your goals are going to be different than mine. You know, I'm basically trying to maintain, and I've always been sort of lean. I don't have much of a problem keeping off fat. So right now, all I'm taking is creatine and a post-workout shake and fish oil. And I wouldn't even be taking fish oil if I had my diet dialed into where I actually ate fish regularly. But the good thing about fish oil is that you don't get the same toxins that you do with the fish, so it actually might be a safer alternative to eating fish 3 or 4 times a week. Post-workout shake is simply fast-absorbing proteins, whey protein isolate or even concentrate, and some simple carbohydrates like maltodextrin and dextrose. Other than that, you know, sometimes I'll take ZMA. Actually, I would recommend that for you right now, Kevin, to get over your cold.
Oh, yeah, actually, ZMA. I'm sorry. I forgot to mention, I actually do take that before bedtime.
Right. Yeah, sometimes I'll go on that, and it's great for cold. The effectiveness of it can be debated. Some people think it's ineffective. Others get great results from it. It's basically an anabolic mineral supplement of zinc and magnesium and vitamin B6 in certain percentages, and you do take it on an empty stomach before you go to bed. It's mostly recommended for men, but I think women can also get benefits from it, and basically it keeps your hormones in an anabolic state. It also makes you have trippy dreams.
Yeah, no, it does. That's not a joke.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of cool.
And the zinc helps your immune system, so I do take that when I'm sick as well. But yeah, I mean, that's about it. I've tried tons of different stuff too, you know, like Tribulus. I didn't get much of any effect from that. It's another sort of anabolic, all natural supplement. I've tried different nootropics like Piracetam. You know, that's another sort of natural thing. It doesn't relate to fitness. It's supposed to help you think with more clarity or help you be more alert. It didn't really work. You know, it might work for some people, but again, just it's an individual thing. People need to find what works for them. But there are a few tried and true supplements that bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts keep coming back to, and those are primarily creatine and a post-workout shake. Mm-hmm. The reason I don't take a multivitamin is because I do eat a hell of a lot of vegetables and fruits every day, so I really don't need to supplement with vitamin C or any of the nutrients that you'll find in the micronutrients you'll find in those multivitamins.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. I wish I could get in all my nutrients from food than having to supplement, but I mean, for a lot of people, it's just, it's hard. It's nice to have the multivitamin just as, like, almost like a safety.
Right.
And I'm going to admit, I've tried something called No Explode. It's something that's popular. It's a nitric oxide. Basically, it's creatine.
It just gives you a pump.
Yeah, I mean, the No Explode, all it does is really give you a pump. It did give me a little bit of energy before and during my workout, maybe get in an extra rep. But all it really does is give you a pump, and then it's gone an hour after your workout. And it looks great during your workout, but after that, it kind of just fades off. It's kind of not really worth the $40 that you pay for it. Have you guys tried that at all?
I have not.
No, I haven't tried it, and I'm not interested in it either. I've read some things about it, but it basically, it seems sort of like a scam, just because it does give you a pump and it's an immediate result, and a lot of people are going to be turned on by that. Mm-hmm. Just because most effective supplements aren't going to give you that immediate benefit. You know, it's going to be subtle, you know, and it will build on itself after weeks, but here you have something where you can take it and immediately you look kind of bigger, and you know, you can get a good, you know, vascularity in the gym. But you know, what does that help? It might help with, you know, getting you mentally psyched and being able to eke out another rep and in the long run help you. But in my opinion, I wouldn't spend that kind of money on something that doesn't really have that great of an effect.
What is the craziest supplement you guys have ever seen on the shelf? Is there something that really just popped out for you and just like, who the hell is going to buy this?
Yeah, every time I go into GNC, I see all kinds of crap that I can't believe people are spending money on.
The constant weight gaining things and, you know, those types of, you know, double your body weight or, you know, things, you know, the crazy stuff, you know.
I think the carb blockers are my all-time worst.
Oh yeah, those are up there.
Yeah, nemesis. Yeah,
yeah. I don't stop into GNC much, or you know, things, shops like that. I normally get my supplements online at Vitamin Shop. I just find it more convenient, and you know, they have better stuff than GNC. So
yeah, I shop at online also at Bulk Nutrition, and they have super cheap prices, and it all comes in either bags or big kilo tubs. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can really save money that way if you know what you're looking for in advance.
Also, they also go by One Fast 400. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I stay away from GNC as much as possible. Vitamin Shop is nice if I had one around me, if I had one nearby. But usually I'm going to bodybuilding.com. It's pretty much the best prices that I've been able to find, especially on the simple stuff that I buy. Just like I buy Optimum Nutrition, whey protein, just get a nice 5-pound tub and just creatine. That's pretty much all I need to buy for supplements. I pick up my fish oil just at the store. Usually when I just see it on sale at Walmart or Target, and that's pretty much it. Obviously the metabolic drive I pick up at T-Nation.
Wondering where you got your casein protein.
Oh, that was the metabolic drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've tried on casein, but it's just kind of, it tastes kind of weird. I don't know. It's something that BioTest does. It just, like John said, they just taste so damn good, and it's like 3 grams of carbs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
so
how
they
do it.
So the metabolic drive is casein that way?
Yeah.
Or is it both?
It's a mixture.
Okay. Yeah, it's a mixture of milk proteins, but its purpose is that it's slow digesting.
Okay, so
it's good before bed.
Okay, maybe I'll check that out this week and, you know, let you guys know about it.
Yeah, and if you're not cottage cheese adverse, that's another alternative.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
No, I'm a big lover. It, I do enjoy my cottage cheese, but you have to find the right brand. You know, some of them do just taste awful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're eating caulking or something. And you know, others taste better. So I like a little cottage cheese, maybe with a little fruit or berries or even pineapples mixed in with it before bed.
They have metabolic drive protein bars now.
Yeah.
Right. I keep seeing those. I haven't tried them yet.
Those are good too. I don't know why, but they only have like one flavor out at a time. They sent me a bunch of samples, but for some reason they only have like, I think right now they only have one flavor, and they used to have peanut butter and also chocolate.
They have Rocky Road and cookie dough out right now.
Yeah, those are two new
nice
ones.
That sounds good.
That does sound good. Maybe I'll give these a look.
They have just a peanut butter flavor?
They did about a month ago, and now they're gone. They said they want to rotate the flavor so people have more of a choice, but I think they'd have more of a choice if they just had all the flavors up at once.
I know.
Very true.
I've always been pressing for someone to come out with just a peanut butter flavored whey protein. And yeah, maybe there is. I haven't seen one, but I would love to have something like that. It's so versatile. You could throw it in shakes, mix it with, you know,
chocolate,
cocoa powder, yeah, or whatnot, and
yeah,
I'm
good. A big fan of peanut butter, John.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So.
But I think I'm gonna wrap up this episode. I'm just gonna do a little bit of a wrap up.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Well, it was good talking with you guys again.
No, John, I was gonna do like a big thing, and then I'm gonna be like, everyone's gonna say something. I'm sorry. That should pretty much do it for this week's edition of the FitCast. Again, I want to thank Dr. John K. Williams for joining me, and Keith Sutanono.
It's good talking with you guys again, and I'll see you guys on the JP Fitness forums.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Kevin. I really appreciate being on here, and anytime you want to have me back, I'll be more than happy.
I know, you guys do a great job. That's why you're back this week, and we will be mixing it up a little bit more. We're going to try to have Eric Martin on. I know he's been a little bit busy with his cafe, but he will be on soon. So check us out at the JP Fitness forums. We are all there, and also thefitcast.com, where you can get all the links for this week's stories and also links to John's sites and also Keith's sites. So give it a look and subscribe on iTunes.
Coming up next is part two of the interview with Craig Ballantyne. I hope you enjoy it.
The listener was wondering, what was your take on using bodyweight exercises as a recovery method? Would you do a workout from the Turbulence Training bodyweight manual, just picking a random one, or would you set up just a strict bodyweight workout that was for the recovery?
I would start, you know, for the average individual with fitness, they should be able to do recovery workout, starting with maybe the preparation phase of the 6-month bodyweight manual. Mm-hmm. Again, it all comes down to the relative ease of exercise. For some people, bodyweight squats should be a recovery type exercise. I mean, if you can do, guys should be able to do 100 or 200 bodyweight squats. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is a recovery level of intensity. I mean, they shouldn't do 100 and 200 in a row for recovery, but you know, they should do sets of 20, and that would be recovery level. Whereas people that are, you know, doing 20 with difficulty, 20 bodyweight squats, then they're going to have to decrease the difficulty of the exercise, maybe down to a double leg hip bridge, lying down on the ground, or just double leg ball curls, that type of stuff. So it's all just, you know, the level of intensity is relative to what's going to be a recovery workout. So for most people, if they started with the average fitness level, if they started with the preparation phase of the 6-month manual, give that a shot. That should be recovery. I mean, they should get a bit of a sweat on, and they should increase the blood flow to the muscles, and that's the purpose of a recovery workout, to increase the blood flow to the muscles so that you increase your rebuilding and repair processes. But again, for some people, a recovery bodyweight workout is just not going to work because, you know, if they're sedentary, if they're overweight, then any bodyweight workout is going to be a workout. Mm-hmm. And so they would, light walking might be their best thing, or using the foam roller, they're better off doing that. Or even some of the dynamic flexibility stuff, going through the dynamic flexibility type stretching, would be better off than doing, you know, actually bodyweight squats or anything like that for a recovery workout. But everyone would benefit from that dynamic flexibility stuff in the recovery workout in their off days.
It's great. It's great. I thought we should end with the body weight discussion. I know it's kind of a hot topic as of late. I know you kind of helped with that with your new Tibbins Training Body Weight Manual. And also, Alwyn Cosgrove has had a workout come out, and I think it's really starting. Do you think that the bodyweight workouts is really starting to kind of explode, or is that something that's been around
for? I don't know if it's coincidence or what, but I mean, it seems like everybody has seemed to have come out with a bodyweight type training program. There's quite a few guys that with some bodyweight stuff now, and it just seems like it all came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really wish I would have done it quite a few years ago because, you know, the interest and necessity is there for quite a few people because that's their only workout opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people work out at home, or a lot of people want something that they don't need to go to the gym for, and it's really an area that needed to be addressed, and that's why I came up with mine. And mine, you know, if somebody has other ones, they'll notice that mine is an athletic movement type mobility based body weight focus. I mean, there's exercises in there that aren't going to be in other people's workouts, and it's just a lot of movement stuff. And by the end, you should be a very mobile person with the body weight stuff that I've put out. The same with Alan's stuff as well.
I thought we'd jump into a new article that you had up for the All Access Pass people, and that's the Hot Zone Training Manual. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about the Hot Zone Training idea and also elaborate it for people who have read it and kind of just want a little bit more in-depth explanation about it.
Yeah, this is just me simplifying training even more. So when I call things hot zones, this is how I just look at a workout when I'm, you know, total body workout. What does it need to address? And I've labeled four hot zones in the body. You need to address the upper back. You need to address the upper body pressing muscles at the front of the body, the abdominals and the posterior, and then the posterior chain. If you address exercises for each one of those four hot zones, you're going to train your entire body. Because you can't train the muscles of the lower body, the back, the posterior chain, without getting your quadriceps. You don't have to focus an exercise on the quadriceps. You know, maybe with the exception of partner-assisted glute ham raises. But, you know, if you're doing exercise like Romanian deadlift, even that isometric contraction, the quadriceps is going to help. If you're doing an exercise like wide stance squatting, sitting back, and that exercise is really for the posterior chain, but your quads are getting a lot of work. So that's one hot zone. If you hit that posterior chain hot zone, you train pretty much the entire lower body. The upper back, that's an area that needs to be trained, not the lats. It's not the lats that need to be trained because they'll get trained in almost any upper back exercise. So you need to focus on the scapular retraction movement, like the rowing exercise, and there you train the hot zone of the upper back. So it's just simple. It's just like showing you, here's four things that if you have only 15 minutes, train exercises for each one of these hot zones, what I call them, and you'll train your entire body and you'll be done. You don't have to worry about, you know, an exercise for your bicep, an exercise for this. It's kind of an extension of what Alan's book, you know, his new rules of lifting. I think he had five or six movements you should have in every workout. And this is just, you know, it's very similar to that. Here's four areas that you need to train. If you can pick four exercises that get these, you're done your workout. And so again, just those four areas where the upper body pushing muscles, upper body pulling muscles, you know, focusing on the upper back, the abdominals, and then the posterior chain or the lower body. You know, you can either say legs together, or you could say glutes, hamstrings. That's the area that you want to get. And so those are the areas that I worry about when putting together total body workouts. And you can get them done, you know, in two or three lifts or four at the most. Mm-hmm. And abs are even low on the list because you can get them with the right exercise selection for the other three zones. And then basically think about those training zones when you exercise if you don't have time to get a lot done. And it's simplified, but, you know, sometimes when you simplify things, it confuses some people because your explanation isn't just as good as it should be. But that's basically it. Just think of, you know, four red areas on the body that need to be trained, and you're training pretty much the entire body, with, of course, the exception of individual needs. You know, if somebody's got an area to rehab or is exceptionally weak in a certain area, then, you know, obviously they're going to get covered in specific exercises that should be done before the main workout. But, you know, you do your body weight warm-up. This is how I'd structure hot zone training. Body weight warm-up, which also falls to hot zone training. So you do something like a squat for the posterior chain, maybe a lunge also for that, just to cover that movement, a push-up, and then an inverted row. And then there you've trained your hot zones and you're ready to go because your abdominals are working hard in the push-up and inverted rows. Abdominals should be working hard in every exercise. So try and simplify that. And then you go in and you do your main exercises for the hot zone, and then you're done.
Great, good. Is that something that you would recommend to do? Would you recommend someone do the hot zone training for maybe 4 weeks as kind of changing it up, or is that something for someone that...
It's a philosophy you could follow for long term. It's more of a fat loss type and body weight type workout. I mean, you could use it for mass, but the people I have using it for right now and giving it a try out are mostly fat loss oriented. And then we'll probably tweak the workouts from there and then offer it to everybody. But you can get a take a look at it if you're a member of the site right now.
Yeah, if you guys out there, go check it out. I thought it was a really good read, and that's why I had a couple questions on this. That's why I had to bring it up. And also, the next question is on CrossFit. What's your take on that?
Well, it seems like it's pretty good stuff. I mean, if somebody wants to kick their butt, you know, with a workout, that's... You know, it seems pretty popular. People are loving that stuff, and they got a good thing going for people that want to sweat their brains out and kick their own butts, like I said, in their workouts. A lot of similarities to the turbulence training, but, you know, a lot of differences at the same time. And it's really quite a popular thing.
So, I mean, it's something that I wanted to mention again, but if you could go over what the All Access Pass is and what it includes and how people can get a hold of it just for people who aren't members of it.
Well, Kevin, obviously it's the greatest thing that's ever been invented.
It is.
It's the All Access Pass, kind of renamed it to Turbulence Training Membership Pass now, just to make it a little more clear. Basically, what it is you get access to all the training programs that I've written and continue to write. Membership pass is good for 1 year, and I try and update every week with whether it's an article or a program. Lots of programs of clients that are the really successful ones I try and get up there. Also, something, you know, I always try and get like a major program out every couple of months, like the bodyweight manual that came out around January 1st. So when somebody's a member, they get access to everything that I've created. So, and if you're a previous customer, then you get a pretty steep discount on it, and you can upgrade and get everything. And like, it's basically, it's an endless amount of workouts because there's workouts in there for everything. I've got some of my elite athlete workouts, lots of my muscle mass workouts, obviously all my fat loss workouts, bodyweight workouts, lots of good stuff. And then I've also started a bit of a advanced training article series going into a bit more of the science stuff that I don't cover in my daily emails on turbulencetraining.com because I just don't have the time and space for it. But, you know, if people are really interested in the advanced stuff, then that's where they should go.
Yeah, I think those are just worth the membership right off the bat, just the advanced stuff for people who are just interested in fitness and maybe even going into the field. I just thought that stuff was awesome.
Yeah, and some of the other stuff I have coming out for the All Access Pass, for the membership pass, are going to be a little bit more training. You know, I'm going to focus on some articles and stuff for trainers and doing a couple presentations this summer, and I'll make sure to get that type of information into the membership pass as well, which again is more advanced stuff that's applicable to trainers and obviously to people that are really interested in advanced training methods that aren't trainers, of course, as well.
That's great, and I know I took advantage of it. I went with Turbulence Training for Fat Loss, I think it was a little bit over a year ago now, and just right after, probably a month later, I had to pick up the All Access Pass. It's just endless amounts of stuff that you can just read, and it's like you said, an endless amount of programs. That's pretty
yeah, much yeah. The only problem is people get, there's too many things in there, and people aren't sure which one to start with. But you know, if that problem comes up, just give me an email, and we'll straighten you out and get you set up on which one you should start with and progress with and get into your plan program.
That's another question that you kind of brought up for me is, how do you answer all these emails? How do you do it?
No problem, man. It's I type fast, you know. grade 10 keyboarding was one of the best classes I ever took because, and then with practice over the years. And it's very simple for me because a lot of the emails that I get are worthwhile putting into my newsletter. So that, you know, that takes care of running a newsletter for a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people are listening out there that aren't on the turbulencetraining.com newsletter, it's a daily email, fitness, motivation, exercise tips, success stories, all that sort of stuff that you know, it's a short read. It's about 500 words a day, and you know, that's pretty much the feedback on it. So it keeps people on track. You know, the motivation is there, but it also there's some tips in there. I mean, it's not just a bunch of fluff. It is a serious exercise tip for a day, and a lot of that stuff comes out of the questions that I get from people. And I think if somebody's question is valuable enough for them to write in, and they want an answer from it, and you know, they need help, and they're not succeeding, then I'm going to take the time out of my day to answer it. And you know, I get a lot of my writing done. I ride the subway around here in Toronto a little bit, so I just you know, instead of standing around, I write my emails back on it, and you know, it's easy for me to get that done. So you know, I welcome the questions that people have.
Yeah, again, I said it before, and I think that's just great. It's almost like having a personal trainer that's almost available at any time of the day and just a click away. And I just think I honestly have to thank you for that, and I know a lot of people have to thank you for that, just being almost kind of like our own personal trainer.
Well, that's what it comes back to, is that I just want to give people the straight goods and you know, clear up, because a lot of the questions are about confusion, about should I do this, should I do this, I read this, and you know, most of the answers are simple for me to put together, so passing that information on.
All right, sounds good. If you guys haven't checked it out, check it out. Either go to turbulencetraining.com or cbathletics.com. And also, again, we touched on this before, but do you have any programs or articles that are coming out in the next few weeks that the listeners should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I'm going to finish up a workout this weekend, a mass training one. My fat loss fusion one was pretty popular, and some people asked for a mass fusion workout, which is basically, the story behind that is the fusion workouts are basically just like a hybrid workout. It's got, you know, Olympic lifts, barbell lifts, dumbbell lifts, bodyweight lifts, and how to combine them all into one workout. So this one's going to be mass based, and it should be done this weekend. And then I did a bit of a survey. Votes are in for more hardcore fat loss stuff, so I'm going to get lots more of the fat loss workouts up. And the muscle building ones are always fun for me to put together, and they're in high demand, so I'm going to get some more of those out even after this mini fat mass fusion one I'm finishing up this weekend. And bodyweight stuff is always a challenge to come up with, so I have a lot of fun putting those together and coming up with new exercises or finding out other exercises that people have been doing, and passing those along, because the bodyweight people are, you know, they're kind of like that CrossFit community. If you're into bodyweight training, you're really into it. So I'm definitely going to get that. And then I've had a couple of requests for some really beginner stuff, you know, for people that can't literally do the stuff that I already have right now, even at the beginner level. So what can these people do? So I'm going to put some research together in that and draw from my experiences and put together some stuff that, you know, personal trainers would be able to use with people that are, you know, literally morbidly obese or have very bad knees and that type of stuff, that really are just limited into the exercise they can do. So I'm going to try and put together some stuff like that.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Everyone should keep a lookout for that. And also, this is kind of a personal question for me, but again, it's from one of the listeners out there that's actually studying fitness right now, and that is, obviously, you've turned studying fitness into a career in fitness. What suggestions do you have for someone like myself who has an interest in fitness and is currently in school?
You know, the biggest thing, and this applies to probably almost all industries, is that you need to network and you need to know a lot of people. The more people you know, more opportunities you're going to have, you know, obviously, provided you put together good work and you're consistent with your work. But just knowing people is, you know, who you know is bigger than what you know. Not some, you know, it's not entirely everything, but knowing other trainers, going to the seminars, meeting them, becoming, you know, colleagues of theirs, that is very, very helpful. I mean, that's why, you know, what you're doing right now with these FitCasts is very helpful for yourself. But, you know, it's good and bad in that, you know, some people get, you know, see that the Old Boys Network keeps dinosaur strength and conditioning coaches in the professional leagues that are doing training programs that seem just, you know, mindless. But on the other hand, guys like Ryan Lee are having these seminars where the top strength and conditioning and personal trainers are going to look up RyanLeeBootcamp.com. You know, Alan Cosgrove is going to be there speaking. I mean, that you can't miss that type of stuff. You know, getting to meet these guys and getting to meet people with bigger audiences, you get to become friends with them, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can have, you know, you're going to be an expert in these other people's eyes. So you have to get to know the right people. And then when coming back to what you actually know, you need to understand the basics and foundations. You have to be able to use that basics and foundation to understand, just to apply common sense, so that you understand why every training program is as it is, what stuff is worthwhile keeping. You know, Alan always uses that Bruce Lee phrase. I forget what it is, but, you know, it's along the lines of keep what is worthwhile and discard what is useless. Mm-hmm. And if you know what really matters, then you won't bounce around among training philosophies. You won't get hooked on stuff that sounds good but is just more show and no go. And if you can keep that aspect of it as simple as possible, then you can put some of your time into these other things like the networking and building and building your career in fitness. But, I mean, obviously it just comes down to integrity, delivering what you promise, and, you know, just be a good person. Be yourself and be friendly and you know, work hard. It's real basic stuff, and that is what it's all about.
Everything you said makes sense, and I thank you for going in-depth on that for me and for the listeners out there.
No problem.
And that pretty much wraps it up for the one-on-one with Craig. Is there anything else you wanted to include?
Just everyone keep it simple. We all know what we need to eat. We need to eat fruits and vegetables and lean proteins, and, you know, we shouldn't eat too much stuff that's in a bag or a box, and we should eat organic as often as possible. And if you want to gain mass, you want to lift heavy weights and in enough volume. And if you want to lose body fat, then you need to burn more calories than you take in. And, you know, those are the simple rules. And then once you make sure you're 100% with the simple stuff, then you can start getting a little tricky. Other than that, you know what? Everyone just, you know, remember that health and fitness lifestyle can be a very easy lifestyle to follow.
Thank you so much, Craig. I thank you so much for your time and just
no problem.
Helping me get this together, and I'm sure the listeners appreciate it as well. Craig, how can people take a look at your stuff and get a hold of you?
Kevin, I have four websites that I want to share with everybody. The first is turbulencetraining.com, and that is my fat loss and body composition and health and fitness lifestyle daily email that you'll get when you sign up at turbulencetraining.com. So that's TURBULENCE training.com. So just like turbulence in an airplane. Mm-hmm. And my other website is cbathletics.com. That is for coaches and trainers mostly. That's the more advanced training interviews that I do with other strength coaches and trainers. And then Girl Athlete, it's spelled a little bit differently, grrlathlete.com. And that is our female-specific training information site. So there's some stuff for fat loss for women. There's some stuff for athletic performance for female athletes, young and old, even some running information for women, and bodybuilding information and powerlifting information for women. And then finally, undergroundnutrition.com, and sometimes I'll throw up some bodybuilding articles for my friends who run undergroundnutrition.com. So I don't own that one, but sometimes I, you know, just for fun, I'll write some bodybuilding articles up on Underground Nutrition for their newsletter. And that's it. Thanks, Kevin.
That's great. Everyone should check those out, and also put links for those websites up on the main site for thefitcast.com. You can check it out in the show notes at the end of this episode.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks.
That will wrap it up for episode number 3 of the Fitcast. Thanks again for downloading, and I hope you're subscribing on iTunes. As always, the show notes are on thefitcast.com, as well as direct download. So if you don't want to go through iTunes, you can always get it through thefitcast.com. Thanks as always, and join us next week. Possibly. We will see about that. I'll keep you informed. Keep checking out thefitcast.com for updates. Thanks. And as Kaiser always says, eat well, exercise hard, and live long. Thanks, and join us next time.